Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the AAK Press and Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by question and answer session. At which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Friday, the 17th of July, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Arne Frank. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hello, everybody, and very, very welcome to AAK's Q2 report conf call. I'm sitting here with our CFO, Fredrik Nilsson, in a more or less sunny Malmö, southern Sweden. So, ladies and gentlemen, please be very welcome wherever you are in the world. The agenda we are proposing follows our standard pattern, a short introduction, a little bit from myself, a little bit from Fredrik, some more details on each business area, a few comments on our action program, and then I suspect we will today have ample time for Q&A, but we will have to stop at 2 p.m. at the latest. Moving on. We are happy and proud to announce a stable and solid quarter. Our volumes are up 12%, but nearly more important, our volumes are up organically with 4%, and I will walk you through some more details on that. Sales is up 20%, and that's of course a mix of FX translation, M&A, but also the organic growth. EBIT, operational EBIT, not including profit from sales of fixed assets and so forth, up 16%, a large part of that FX related though. And earnings per share up 30%. And net debt is down to not much more than 2 billion Swedish pesetas or Swedish krona. But a stable quarter in line with our strategy and in line with our expectations. But more details, Fredrik. More details, please.
Thank you, Arne. To start to summarize the quarter, we can say that the second quarter was very similar to Q1. High operating profit combined with organic growth and a strong cash flow. As Arne said, operating profit increased by 16% to 326, excluding non-recurring items. We have two non-recurring items in the quarter. We have the profit from the divestment of the office building in Aarhus, and then we have adjusted some earlier made non-recurring provisions, so we have a net positive of 13 million SEK. And last year, we had 9 million in acquisition cost. We continue to have positive currency translation, and they amounted to 39 million in the quarter, and we expect they continue with positive currency translation Q3 and Q4, but at a lower level. That's important to have in mind. Operating profit per kilo continue to improve. Positive currency translation impacted 0.09, but there were also some negative items that impacted operating profit per kilo, and that was that the dilutive effect from the acquisitions in Belgium and Colombia continued in the quarter, and the volume growth in commodity products in food ingredients. If we then continue with the business areas, food ingredients, a nice improvement of 12%, and they reached 221. A little bit of a mixed picture in food ingredients between the different segments, and I know that Arne will come back and talk more about those, but just a little bit of a flavor. Bakery continued to grow nicely in the quarter after a challenge in 2014, and that was particularly strong growth in US and Turkey. Food service continued to grow in all our three main markets, US, UK, and the Nordics. Dairy strong growth in the Nordics, while the low-end semi-specialties declined a little bit, mainly due to lower milk fat prices. Our infant business, our Akonino, continued to grow very nicely with double-digit volume growth in the quarter. Infant was back to volume growth in the quarter, but if we look at year-to-date, we still have a negative volume growth. Chocolate and confectionery fats improved to 116 million from 91, and is still strongly influenced by the market conditions in Russia and Ukraine, and volumes were slightly down in the quarter. Adjusted for the CIS, volumes continue to grow in chocolate confectionery fats. And technical products and feed, a nice double-digit growth in the quarter. If we then turn to page 5 and looking at the trends, you will see a nice volume chart. Volume increased with 12% in the quarter, and as Arne said, it's 4% organic. And if we go one step behind the numbers, we have an organic volume growth in food ingredients of 9%, and CCF was down with 3%. Operating profit, the trends continues, up 16%, and as you can see in the chart, it's our best second quarter ever. I have already commented upon the operating profit per kilo, but as you know, that we had the dilutive effect from earlier mentioned acquisitions and the growth in the commodity products, which has a lower margin than the average. If we then turn to page 6 and look at the cash flow, we had a very strong cash flow in the Q2, continued to improve our EBITDA, an improvement of 81 million in the quarter. Paid interest, as you can see, was unchanged. Paid tax, 9 million higher than last year. But you will also see that year to date we are still below last year, and that's mainly related to the sale of the office building in Denmark, which was tax exempt. Non-cash items is mainly the change in provisions. And then we have a good change in working capital of plus 83 million in the quarter and 169 million year to date. And it's mainly a strong cash flow from our inventory. But also we have managed to keep our accounts receivable stable despite the organic volume growth. If you then look at cash flow from investments, it's minus 74. So you can see that it looks lower than last year, but that also includes the cash from the sale of the office building in Aarhus. If we then continue on page 7 and working capital days, we have finally started to see improvements in working capital days. And as I said on the previous slide, it's mainly the improvement in inventory that's contributed to lower working capital days. And you can see that we have improved with 2 days since Q1, and the value of each day is more or less 50 million SEK. Page 8 is a gentle reminder about our raw material prices. You can see a stable development on the palm price. You can also see that rapeseed prices have increased a little bit. And then, yes, as the reminder is that there is a time lag of 6 to 9 months until you will see the impact of changes in raw material prices in our cash flow. Return on capital employed on page 9. It was a good improvement in ROCE during the quarter. We are now up to 15.6% in the quarter, and on a rolling 12-month basis, we are at 15.9%. The main drivers for the improved ROCE is the strong profit development in the quarter, but also, as you can see, we have managed to reduce our working capital. But please have in mind, when you look at our return on capital employed for the third and for the fourth quarter, that there will be more CapEx during the second half of 2015 due to the ongoing greenfields. And we will also, of course, start to build some working capital in Brazil. By that, I will now leave the microphone back to you, Arne.
Thank you, Fredrik. Very good. So more down now to the operational business, starting with the geographical overview, page 10. And you can see here, except for the civil war in Ukraine and the situation in Russia, a relatively optimistic picture across the board, from left to right, Nordics developing nicely in all areas, more or less. Technical products and feed, more stable, but developing nicely across the borders. Western Europe, very good development on chocolate confectionery. And I would say on food ingredients, we should have an arrow showing something in between green up and yellow flat. And if we had such a symbol for this graph, that could be the case for FI West Europe. We believe we are gaining market shares, and we have some success with our value propositions. U.K. should normally be part of Western Europe, but here it isn't. More flat, but maybe also marginally better than flat in terms of trends. U.S., we believe we are gaining market share to some extent, and we're also here having success with our value propositions, no trans, low fat, et cetera, et cetera. CEE, flat, but that's probably a little bit of a success because several of the countries concerned, several of our markets, are exporting to not unmaterial degree to Russia, and that export is, of course, also badly hurt. So we are quite happy with our CEE results, and it's a good foundation for the future. The civil war in Ukraine and the situation in Russia, I just commented, not much more to say than that. But again, it was already not the material part of AAK, but not immaterial, but it's part of this is now becoming a smaller and smaller part of AAK. Asia, on a more positive note, good success from low levels on food ingredients across the borders, and all in all, good trends. And then our Latin America business on the FI side, relatively stable, but very good development also here on CCF. Giving you then the correlation to the BAs, I think page 11, Fredrik already commented the EBIT evolution, however, strongly FX impacted. Fredrik also commented operating profit per kilo. I will be back to that. But more important is on page 12, where we can see that we have a 4% volume growth in specialty and semi-specialty, and most of this is, as you know, semi-specialty, with its transportation cost constraints. So if we look upon where we have factories, +4% as a global number, definitely means we are gaining market share with our no trans, low fat, lower cost message. Commodity looks dramatic, 24%, but please remember, it's from a very low base, and you have the exact numbers for what is the base in our Capital Market Day presentations from November. Hasn't changed that much since. As Fredrik indicated, bakery developing nicely in many markets. DFA is more a mixed bag. Here we are very strong with our value proposition, no trans, low fat, and lower cost. However, with quite depressed milk fat prices, the cost value proposition is less powerful than in a more normal situation. Food service, which we do not do in all markets, this is mainly U.K., Northern Europe, and U.S., but some really nice developments in food service and with acceptable profit. Infant nutrition, as Fredrik said, INFAT, our joint venture Advanced Lipids, developing now better out of the very, very strange last year comparable numbers. But as Fredrik said, year to date, still negative growth in volume. And then our Aconino blends, again, nice evolution. But we can from now on be a little bit more optimistic on the total picture of our infant nutrition business. So very encouraging results, and we believe it's the efforts in our action program that are starting to bear fruit here. Page 13, operating profit, already commented upon, and with the seasonality we always have in this, and with more to come from infant nutrition and other segments, this Q2 result is remarkable. You normally ask about EBIT per kilo, where we touched upon 0.8 at some point of time. I am personally still dreaming about coming back to 0.8, despite the dilutive effects from Belgium and Colombia and so forth. Fredrik is more conservative on that. On the other hand, I'm more conservative than him on the CCF EBIT per kilo, so we can come back to that also. So, relatively encouraging patterns, though. Moving over page 14, CCF, very nice development. Also, if we put the FX effect aside and starting to get to a nearly scary high EBIT per kilo, this is the EBIT per kilo where Fredrik is more optimistic than I am, but we can come back to that. Volumes declined, but as you know, Russia and Ukraine is CCF heavy and CBE heavy also. And if we make the hypothetical, unacceptable hypothetical assumption that we took out what we call CIS, Ukraine and Russia, out of the year-to-year comparison, we have some clear growth in the numbers, single digits, but not totally immaterial. Leading over to page 15, not much more to say, nice evolution. I think to judge the future, more important to look upon page 16, and I believe most of you at least do understand when we say that $6,000 per metric ton for the cocoa butter is better for AAK than $8,000 or $9,000, because of price increases and negative volume price elasticity and so forth. And you never know with the cocoa butter price, as we can see on this chart over a 10-year period, but so far so good. And we do not see any nearby signs that the price will not stay around the $6,000 or so. And to AAK, that's a very good price level. It's a price level that is, even if it's painful for our customers, it seems to be manageable for them. And it makes our CBE and CBI value propositions even more appealing, and not only from a cost point of view. Speaking about raw materials, I want to slightly comment on page 8 that Fredrik already commented. I hope and I believe all of you have seen the new EU ideas about biodiesel, capping from 10% from generation one, i.e. biodiesel made out of fresh, high-quality food crop, capping that from 10 to 7, doesn't sound like a big change, right? 3 percentage units. But if you take into account that, for example, in Western Europe, 2014, 70% of the rapeseed crop went to biodiesel, capping from 10 to 7 means a dramatic change in that world, if you run the numbers. And for anyone who is in this industry and depending on having the rapeseed crop used for food and not for fuel, this is very, very good news wherever you are in the supply chain. Page 17, our smallest business area, stability is the word to use. And even with double low, but still double digit positive numbers, it doesn't make any material change to our numbers. But we are happy with the development on the TPF side. Our action program, we're moving on. Sales, sales leadership, customer co-development, innovation. We would like to disclose more details to you, but as existing shareholders, that wouldn't be in your interest from a competitive point of view. But we are happy to inform you that we are on schedule with all those initiatives. Service, quality, productivity, and so forth also. And we are moving on all fronts, and we see that the strategy is working. Approaching the Q&A session, but just to make a pitch, page 21, our calendar for the rest of the year. And again, please book November 18. We hope to meet all of you November 18 in Stockholm, Sweden. And with that, we are approaching the end of this presentation, page 19. And I guess you, just like myself, are searching for any kind of change in how this page is designed. But I believe our message is the same. We're working hard. Our strategy works. Our value propositions on health and cost, no trans, low SAT, lower cost, equally good products, is working. Our M&A transactions are being integrated into AAK according to plan. Our greenfield projects in Brazil and China are developing according to plan. We're working on hard work in the mine on a daily basis, but we remain here prudently optimistic for the future for the same reasons as we have communicated now a number of quarters. So working on here, proud, yes, happy, yes, but we want to be even happier, and we are prudently optimistic we will little by little be happier as time goes by and as we keep on working hard here. We thank all our teams for this, and we thank you for listening and for your support, and we are now open for some Q&A here. And as always, I take easy questions and Fredrik takes the more difficult ones.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key, star and 1 to ask a question. And your first question comes from the line of Casper Blom. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. A couple of questions from my side. Arne, you almost gave the first question yourself. I would like to hear why you are a little scared about the EBIT per kilo development in the CCF division. Secondly, regarding your working capital, maybe if you could give a little bit of guidance on the magnitude of ramp-up you'll be doing in connection with Brazil coming online in later this year. And then my third and final question relates to your capital structure. Your net debt by the end of this quarter is now almost in line with EBITDA over the last four quarters. So you are getting to a fairly solid balance sheet position. Could you give a little bit of update on how you view that going forward? If you don't do any acquisitions or larger investments, how would you prefer to then spend the money? Thank you.
Thank you, Casper. CCF EBIT per kilo. Let's go to page 15. And if you then see that between a Q2 and a Q3, we are normally up between 0.2 and 0.4 SEK. We should, based on pure statistics, be between 1.8 and 2.0. I would rather, first bullet point, the company is big enough that there will always be some positive surprises, but there will also be some negative surprises. B, we have now since quite some time seen a good mix change in CCF. The glasses half full, the glasses half empty. That was the glasses half full description. Yes, very good development on CBE and CBI, but we have been losing volume and hence market share on the more low-end semi-speciality CCF. Personally, some of that I would like us to catch and get back into the market. It is at least a way to keep the foot in the door of the customer, being able to promote more value-added solutions at the same time. So, but as I indicated, Fredrik is more bullish on the EBIT per kilo on CCF. So we have some internal betting going on who will be right on that one. Working capital and capital structure, Fredrik can comment upon. M&A, of course, we want to do one or two bolt-on transactions if they are synergistic and not too expensive per annum. Of course we want to do that, and that's our historical track record, and we are here for the long term, and I am relatively convinced that over time we will use some money for that, and that any other questions on the capital structure, if you're leaning to share buyback programs and things like that, I can only say that that's a board question and not for me to comment upon in a philosophical way, but I hope really we have more industrial use for our money.
And,
but Fredrik, maybe some more meat to the bone.
Yeah, I come back on the working capital question, and I will say that also it's two items that explains the cash flow for the rest of the year. And of course, Casper, you're absolutely right. We will tie up some working capital with Brazil, but also due to the seasonality in our business, that we have more sales in Q3 and Q4. You normally tie up more working capital in Q3 and Q4. I still expect that we will have a positive cash flow for working capital at the end of the year, but the big chunk of the positive cash flow that you have seen during the two first quarters will come back in Q3 and Q4.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Casper. Anyone else?
Yeah, thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of A.D. Vesterinen. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. So I just wanted to clarify on infant. Was the improvement more or less purely driven by comps easing, or do you see changes in the underlying momentum? And I wondered if you could actually talk about underlying growth by region, especially given comments we've heard recently from Mead Johnson. They were talking about difficult conditions in China. So could you comment by region, please? And then secondly, on dairy, I wondered if you could comment on what proportion of the business is, you know, what I would call true specialty, so resilient regardless of what happens to milk prices, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. So infant nutrition, a recap. The two main families is Infat through our joint venture Advanced Lipids. And here we have had a very bumpy road, speaking about last year comparables. And we have now a 2014 Q2, the last year comparable that was extremely low. As Fredrik said, we have still negative volume growth year to date on that business, but we hope and see it will step by step get to stability and some positive evolution, we hope. And then we have the Aconino family, where we've seen a good development all the time. China has, on the infant side, been on the infant side, we are very China heavy, as a general rule of thumb, and that's been a very bumpy road. And we hope for some more stability and then step by step positive development going forward. On the Aconino side, we've seen a good evolution internationally. And the Aconino product is more sensitive to transportation costs, inbound and outbound logistic advantage and disadvantage, as we say. And so Aconino is more at the detriment that we have factories in a reasonable distance from the customers' factories. But all in all, for the sector infant nutrition altogether, we are prudently optimistic, and we see some good trends in all markets, basically. Dairy, real speciality versus semi-speciality versus the competitive pressure from milk fat. I mean, we have some fantastic products here on what we cannot call ice cream in the US, but in Europe we can still call it ice cream, and you walk out in the supermarket, most of the ice cream products would be based upon vegetable solutions. On the cheese side, analog processed cheese, particularly whipped cream and topping, to mention a few. And then you asked real speciality. I mean, that is something we have not really defined, and our semantics are a bit unclear. But the more value add part of our dairy business is having a good development. The more simpler products, we have been losing some volume. And in Europe, at least for the moment, the milk price is quite low. And you know the rules of the changing quotas and so forth. Question is, what's next step? Very often when there is a deregulation, prices are down in the first phase, in phase two and three. We can point upon many examples after deregulations that prices are up. But again, AAK is a fantastic company in a fantastic business, but no company, no business is in a perfect world. And I agree with the fact that it's a little bit irritating to not have our destiny completely in our own hands. Yes, we are to some degree subject to the price evolution of the product we want to substitute. So maybe, Heidi, not a perfectly clear answer, but as good as I am capable of.
So overall, you're not too worried about dairy, it seems, because of the value-added portion of the business. It sounds quite significant. Is that the right conclusion?
If I take a long-term stance, when you and I meet here 10 years from now, I am convinced personally that the part of AAK that has changed the most is dairy fat alternatives. No trans, low SAT, lower cost. In a longer term, there is so many macro drivers, and our products are so good that this business really has the future. Maybe we can take already a five-year perspective. But what is the road and what is the journey for the next 6, 12, 24 months? More difficult to say, but yes, we are not too worried, and long term, it's a fantastic potential.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Fintan Wyan. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just have two questions, please. Firstly, it's on the investment spending for the full year. I know that the year-to-date charge has been sort of flattered by the proceeds from the office sale, but what's the underlying figure there for the actual CapEx spend, and what should we expect for the full year? And then just in terms of the profitability going into the second half, do you still expect the acquired businesses in Belgium and Colombia to be accretive to EBIT per kilo for the second half?
Thanks for the questions, Fintan. CapEx, we have earlier guided that we will have an underlying CapEx for 1 billion in 2015. And that's, of course, related to the greenfields in Brazil and China. And then on your EBIT per kilo, there will still be an impact in Q3 because we got both the companies in, I think it was in 1st of September, so there will be a couple of months that will continue to impact EBIT per kilo in Q3, and then there will be no impact from the acquisitions in Q4.
Yeah, and would you be able to let us give us an idea of the proceeds from the office sale?
Yes, it's around 100 million SEK.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And your next question comes from the line of Richard Koch. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just had a question on the biodiesel. You mentioned that the European capped biodiesel from feed from 10% to 7%. Do you really think that's going to have an impact given that it's not currently at 7%? It's not currently at 10%.
Hi, Richard. Yes, definitely a long-term, midterm, strong effect. Crushing capacity in Europe is already at 10%, and the current volume, I should not say something because I'm guesstimating, but from top of my memory, I think we are around 7% already. So this will definitively dampen our input costs, definitely. And it is also accelerating the development of Generation 2 and Generation 3, which, if we believe in technological development in an enterprise capitalistic world, will come with solutions that are cost-effective, and that means at some point of time, we can completely kiss goodbye to the bizarre situation where we are burning high-quality food. And of course, now I sound like I was an idealist, but I also have a vested interest here working for AAK. But the end result is the same. So we believe this is long-term, really good for our industry, and this definitively, and that's one of the intents, will take some pressure away from what is called food inflation when we speak vegetable oils.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much. There are no further questions at this time. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for a name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Star and one to ask a question. And you don't have any further questions, sir. Please continue.
Okay. So with that, we thank you all. Thank you for attending. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your questions. We go back to work here. We might take some small but limited vacation, and we look forward to talk to all of you and meet with many of you in a not-too-remote future. And in the meantime, we wish you a very nice summer season and very nice summer vacations. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may all disconnect.